Hey, Christ Church. Pastor Stewart here from Christ Church on Opelousas. It is a really weird time that we're living in. This is the third Sunday in a row that none of our locations have met. And I don't know about you guys, but that feels a little alien for me. I don't know. It's probably been nearly, a decade or so since that's happened in our family's life, to go that long without being with the Lord's people. And it's starting to feel a little strange, but here we are in the situation that God has sovereignly placed us in, and we're doing our best to continue to seek His face and to love Him well and to pursue Him over this time. And so this morning, happy Lord's Day to you. I'm bringing a sermon from the book of Philippians, and we're going to be using pretty much the entire chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles, book of Philippians, and I'm going to be reading the whole thing to you, all of chapter 1. It says this: Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. This is verse 9. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard, and to all the rest, that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice. This is wonderful. Verse 19, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. Verse 21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, yet which I shall choose I cannot tell. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and to be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Verse 27. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. Let's pray. Father, we need your help in this time to hear your word, to rest in it, to trust it more. Father, we need you to be teaching us in these moments. It's very different what we're all doing. We're watching videos at home. We're unable to gather as your corporate body. It feels different. But Father, we recognize that you are sovereign over all of this, and that your Holy Spirit still works, and that Jesus still sits on the throne. And so we trust, and we rest, and we submit. Father, I pray in these next few moments that we would hear your word well, that you would teach us well, and that you would help us. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a lot of things going on in Philippians chapter 1. I want to take a little bit of time right now and draw out some important implications. You see, I think that Paul is teaching us really how to endure in difficult times and endure Christianly and endure well. So I want to walk you through three things, standard sermon, your three-pointer. I want to walk you through three things that really just jump out of these pages towards me as I was preparing for this sermon this past week. First, we remember that even in the dark times, God is at work. That's back to Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. He says, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Right? Verse 13, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. See, this is really interesting to me, because he's saying we're advancing the gospel. But did you notice that he didn't say that a bunch of people got saved? He said people know why he's in jail. They know who he is there for, and they know it because he is naming the name of Christ. They know that he is willing to give everything up for Jesus. And Paul counts just that much, not necessarily people getting saved right away, he's counting just that much as the advancement of the gospel, because he knows Paul plants, Apollos waters, but God gives the growth. He knows that the gospel's going out. He knows that people can see his life in the midst of hard times and tragedies, that they can hear him claim the name of Christ, and that they can know Jesus is the reason that he's able to endure all of this. Church, this is for us. This is very much for us. In this particular season that we're walking through, we have opportunities to name the name of Christ. To say, where is your hope? My hope is in Jesus. I don't fear death. I don't fear poverty. There's all kinds of scary things going on the horizon. We may lose loved ones. We may all lose our 401ks if you haven't already. Our bank accounts may dry out. We may lose our homes. There's terrifying things for a lot of us on the horizon. These are indeed hard times. But we can say in the midst of it, Jesus is enough. And he holds our hand as we walk through all of it. And Paul would count that as an advance of the gospel. Are we advancing the gospel in this time? I pray that we are. I pray that we take and seize every opportunity to name the name of Christ. Now look at verse 14. Verse 14 is really interesting. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Did you see that? His confidence to name Jesus in his imprisonment is emboldening the rest of the church, the other brothers. See, your boldness is not just some ethereal kingdom only, you know, God sees it happening and that's going to be good enough and he's going to use it. It helps me. Your boldness helps your brothers and sisters around you that are maybe struggling right now, and they just need to see somebody else suffering well. Being afraid, sure, but knowing that God is ultimately in control and he will care and provide for you. We think that to be afraid at all is a failure. That's not necessarily true. And I encourage you to go back on our Christchurch media page and take a look at some of those videos that we put up over the last several weeks. Especially the one we did last week with Pastor Kirk. He talked specifically about fear and anxiety. It's just not true to assume that every time we're afraid, there's a problem. But how we walk in that fear. I'm encouraged when I see other believers respond faithfully in times of great, great uncertainty. In times of great, great anxiety. And I know that you are too. So it's okay to be afraid, but let that fear bring you to walk in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ for the encouragement of the brothers. We need to see one another's faithfulness now. We need to see it. And it is a great and good gift. Let us be courageous in bearing the name of Christ now, no matter what it costs, for one another and for maybe even those outside of our church to see us, to see how we witness. Paul even sees this in the people who would try to afflict him. Look at verses 17 and 18. It says, "The former proclaimed Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice." He's like, there's even fake people out here talking about Jesus, and the only reason they're doing it is to try to hurt me. That's fine, he says, because in the end, Jesus is glorified, and that gives him joy. Paul knows it's not about him. It's not about his reputation or his success story, that it's about Jesus. What a great place to be. It's not about you or me or our 401ks or our resources, but Christ is using this time right now to advance his kingdom. He's using it now. Amen. I pray that he'd use it well. Now, the next thing that segues into, he says, "And in that I rejoice." And at the beginning of the next paragraph, if yours is an ESV, right before verse 19, he says, "Yes, and I will rejoice." I love that. He's coaching himself a little bit in that moment, right? He's saying, "And I will rejoice. I will rejoice." What a great disposition to carry. I know it's scary. I know things are hard, but I will rejoice. He makes that covenantal commitment to himself in these hard and difficult trials and times. He says, "I will rejoice." In the dark times, church, we will rejoice. Why? He tells us, if you go down in verse 21, "To live is Christ and to die is gain." It's the worst thing that the world can deal to us. The absolute worst thing. Is death. Oh, death, where is your sting? You see, the most terrifying thing that the world can bring us actually brings the fulfillment of God's design closer to hand. Isn't that wonderful? We, in death, go and worship next to the Lord Jesus Christ for the rest of time. We, in death, are freed to live is Christ, and to die is gain. We don't have anything to be afraid of. The worst thing that the world can do is kill us. All right, so be it. Bring it on. What a wonderful disposition that Paul has. And because of that, we can be filled with joy. We can rejoice. We know that our eternity is secure. Our entire life is set. We're so comfortable in the West. We're so comfortable that any time our comfort is threatened, we freak out. You can look over the last several weeks. Everybody starts flipping out over toilet paper. Nobody knows why. It's not even that kind of virus. Everybody's flipping out over toilet paper because our comfort was threatened. Do you see? We were afraid that something in our life was going to change. And whenever that kind of stuff happens, we immediately lose our joy. Christians, we can rest in the knowledge of the sovereign power of God, that he is in control, that he sovereignly is working this out for our good and his glory. You can hold to that truth. But maybe some of us aren't. I think that's fair. Right? There was a couple of weeks there whenever all this thing started going on. I wasn't sleeping well. I was tossing around in my bed. I was thinking, you know, my bank account, is it going to last? Our business, is it going to hold on? What's going to wind up going on? But Paul tells us here also how to get there. Look at verse 19. He says, "Yes, I will rejoice," verse 19, "for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus, this will turn out for my deliverance." Your prayers matter.
our prayers matter. Church, have we been praying for one another, for the other that we are in covenant with? Have we been praying for each other in this time? Paul says right here that he's confident that it is through their prayers that everything is going to turn out for his deliverance. He says, if you guys keep praying, God's going to use this for his glory and his good and for our good. Have we been praying this way for one another? That's going to be one of the first keys. Pray for yourself, sure. Pray for your family, absolutely. But pray for each other. As scared as you may be at times, there are other people in our church who are just as or more so. As worried as you may be at times, there are others in our church who are just as or more so. We need each other. We must be lifting each other up. Our community groups, I know we're not meeting, but you're still in covenant with each other. Our friends and relationships within the church, I know we're not gathering on Sunday, but don't forget each other. Pray for each other in this time, because Paul draws the conclusion that that's going to work out for his good. Maybe you're not there yet. Maybe you're still afraid. You can't quite rejoice. Ask for others to pray for you, and then do it. Enter into an agreement to pray and to love one another well in these times, and do it. Follow through. Walk it out. Your prayers matter. We ought to check in on each other. That's true. Get your phone, text people, call them every now and then. Be like, hey, how are you? Are you okay? But what if we really covenanted to pray for each other in these times? What if instead of saying, hey, are you okay, we said things like, how exactly can I pray for you right now? And then we call them right up right away and say, let's pray right now. Our text of encouragement includes statements like, I prayed this and this and this for you today. I know you're struggling with fear right now. I know you're worried about your bank account right now, but I prayed for you about that today. God's going to help us. He's going to see us through. He promises that all things work together for his glory and our good. I know you're worried about your kids. They're sick. Maybe somebody in your family's got one of those pre-existing conditions that this particular virus preys upon. I prayed for him today. Do you see how much that matters to us? It means so much. And it's the prayers that prompt the Spirit of Jesus Christ to work in this area. We got to pray for each other. How do we rejoice? I think it starts with prayer. And then one last thing. Verse 27 and 28 says this: only let your manner of life be worthy the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent — we all are right now — or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. We need one another in the sense that we need the prayers of each other. That's very true. But you know what else we need from one another? We need to see each other's faithfulness. I got to tell you, when I see that other families throughout Christchurch are gathering for family worship in this season where we can't gather as a body, I'm encouraged. And not just because I'm a pastor, but because it encourages me. Yeah, we need to be doing this. This is good for us. Look, people are faithful. They're walking it out together. When I know in the midst of financial hardship that God's people are still doing something as simple as just writing that tithe check, even though they don't know, maybe they're going to have a job in 3 months, 6 months, 2 months, 1 month. That's encouraging for me. They're walking in faith. And it's not just encouraging for me, but it's encouraging for our brothers and sisters. It's encouraging for others to see us walk in faithfulness. We need to be encouraged in times like this. And sure, like, you can call somebody and give them an encouraging word and try to lift them up and say things are going to be okay. That's great. But you know what really helps? Is for them to see your faithfulness. I know that's complicated in times like this where we're not able to really gather. We're not able to see each other. But there are ways. Just to call one another and to ask questions of one another and see how we're really doing and talk about our day with each other. To be able to just follow up with one another and tell them that we love them and ask, how's it going? No, how's it really going? How you doing? Are you staying faithful? I think we can ask each other questions like that and encourage one another with stories of our faithfulness. Today I got to talk to this person about Jesus that I never would have gotten the chance to before. Today, I wrote a tithe check that I don't think that we're going to really be able to recoup in the next 3 months. I lost my job yesterday. But I know the Lord's going to provide. Do you see, things like that are encouraging for the believer's souls. And we need, in this time when we can't even meet together, to know that one another has remained faithful. When we claim the name of Jesus Christ in any of these ways, we are encouraged. My friends, that the testing times are here. And this is just a little thing. Pastor Brandon says it's like a shot across the bow. This little virus has come in and it's disrupted our life completely. The testing times are here. We need to pray for each other. We need to be encouraged by one another. And we need to remember that this, too, is a part of God's plan for His glory and for our good. And may we never waste it. May we never waste it. We've got no idea, really, what the next 6 months or so is going to hold for many of us. Health, sickness, whether we're going to be employed or not, what our bank accounts are going to look like, how our house payments are going to be going. But this is where our faith really gets tested. May we prove faithful. May we not fall away in a season like this. May we be able to say with Paul, yes, I will rejoice. We serve an amazing God. Amen. And may we continue to faithfully serve Him in this time. Maybe you're sitting at home and you're scared and you don't know how on earth you're going to endure. I want you to remember something really simple. That Jesus was faithful. He was obedient. Even unto the point of death for us. And any time that fear creeps in, I want you to meditate on that truth. That in every step that He took towards that cross, He was being faithful for you. And in those moments, we can be faithful for Him as well. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we thank You so much for Your gospel and for Your grace. We thank You so much that You do love us and that You do care for us and that You do teach us. Help us to learn. Help us to faithfully bear the witness of Jesus Christ to those around us, whether by our words or by our actions. Help us to encourage one another. Help us to pray for one another. Help us to remember that You are in control of all these things that are going on. Father, help us to hold fast to our joy. Or maybe for some of us, help us to find it for the first time. God, we love You. Help us to love You more. In Jesus' name. Amen. In the description for this video, you'll find a link to our online giving platforms for you guys to be able to do your regular tithing. I encourage you to do it with your family, to gather them together and to press that button on Secure Give or whatever, PayPal, whatever the thing is that we're using right now. Press that button together and enjoy this time of worship with one another. We're also going to have the number for our Christchurch hotline. You can follow up there. And if you'd like to
maybe get better connected with the things that are going on and get updates through text messages, you can text Christchurch, all one word, to 97000, and you'll get those updates there. Thank you, guys. Happy Lord's Day. And I hope you can, at the end of all this, say yes, and I will rejoice.